Welcome, everybody, to The Bachelor on AfterBuzz TV. Which is more likely, that Corinne runs a multi-million dollar company or that Taylor is a mental health counselor? I don't know. Let's get into it. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Getting surprised.
Guys, we wanted to ask, we asked our producers for a scary song, a haunted song, and this is what we got. We love you.
Well, so we just want to give you guys a moment to let's sit in and wait for the creepy moment. Yeah, there it is. Oh, we don't know. We don't know what we're doing with the song choice. Just like people didn't know what they were doing on the date tonight.
Exactly.
All right. I don't... What is the title of the song, Steven, by the way? There. That was the tie-in. The New Orleans Ladies. Perfect. All right. Well, let's cut that because it's a... It's not that great. Anyway, you guys, we are stoked to be here. Christina is back!
Guys, I am so happy to be back and, like, for such a great episode as well. I was in New York the last 2 weeks, so yeah. Sorry for not being here. And Brooks, you were gone last week too, right?
I was, yeah. I just dropped it. I was in Utah. I was at the Sundance Film Festival, which was a great time. It was awesome.
No big deal.
Yeah, Christina, where can people find you?
You guys, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all that fun jazz, at Miss Zias, and my blog, MissZias.com.
Boom. And you can follow me at Brooks Forrester on Instagram and or Snapchat. We would love to interact with you guys there. We're also open and conversing on the YouTube chat roll. If you don't know how to get that, check out our Twitter, and you can join us if you're watching and you're listening to the podcast. You can watch us on YouTube and participate in the conversation, and we would love to have you involved. So, Christina, before we get into it, and I know you want to get into it.
I do.
Christina, by the way, was legit creeped out tonight. There was a lot of jumpy moments. So I know you're excited about this episode.
You know, I've never been in New Orleans, and part of me during this episode was like, wow, I want to go there so badly.
Yeah, Brian.
And the other part of me was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm scared to go to New Orleans.
That's true. We'll get into that.
Okay.
Before we do, you were in New York for 2 weeks.
Yes.
Tell us of your travels. What was going on?
I'm trying to plan my wedding.
What?
I'm from New York. My fiance is from there as well, so that's what I went back there to do.
Yeah.
I was not successful at all.
Because at first you were going to plan the wedding here.
Yes.
Yes? And you were like, nah, not happening.
Nah. But I haven't planned anything yet. So anyways, I talk about all this on my blog, so if you guys want to follow up with it, just check it out there.
Just plug.
Well, no. I mean, I don't know if people here really care about my potential wedding.
Of course we do.
No, my future wedding, not potential. That sounded really bad.
Yes.
Guys, weddings are super hard to plan. I feel like these bachelor people who get to have ABC do it for them, they get a good deal.
Well, if there's any listeners from in New York and you guys have any advice, any hookups,
you guys,
let us know.
Let me know. New York, New Jersey, I'm all up to the Eastern Coast. Keep me posted. That would be so helpful. How was Sundance for you?
It was great. I went there, by the way. I've got to say, my sister, it's kind of... goes along with tonight. There was the whole reading moment. My sister's an intuitive, and her website is the Practice Collective because she brings in all these intuitive mediums. And what I think is really cool about what my sister's doing is she's creating a new modern language around these old tools that have somewhat of a mystic approach to them. And her point is, like, it doesn't have to be that way. They're basically tools to help you understand what you already know, like a therapist.
Very cool.
You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, this whole reading thing tonight, we'll get into it.
Okay.
We'll get into it. But first, we came off immediately with Corinne and Taylor.
With their drama,
yeah. Well, they were immediately, like, had this confrontation, Karina and Taylor.
Oh, from last week's episode, how it kind of ran into this week?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's my take on the whole Corinne and Taylor drama. I really liked Taylor from the beginning, and I think that most of America did. And I feel like a lot of people did not like Corinne. However, this conversation is where they kind of flop for me.
Question: Why do you say that about Taylor? Did we see a lot of Taylor? I'm only asking because I don't remember. I'm not saying that they didn't.
Do you remember when they did that? It was that group date where everyone was dressed as a bride or bridesmaid, and there was a great connection between Taylor and Nick.
Yeah.
And it seemed like she was very intelligent for her age. She seemed a little bit more mature. And this is like when Corinne was I don't know, stripping down in the pool because she was jealous of someone else being able to be in a bikini, you know?
Right, Sarah.
Right. So I think that, though, what's, I forget who said it. Maybe it was Josephine. I think that Corinne never really, like, put spotlight on anyone else or didn't try to take anyone else's shadow. She was just trying to, like, make herself more noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Taylor was constantly talking badly about Corinne.
So you're saying the dynamic of the girls, too, saw that in terms of, like, yeah, Corinne is Corinne, but totally. Taylor at least is, I mean, Taylor is bad-mouthing people, where Corinne is just, she's Corinne.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a very good point. I don't think I saw that until this episode.
I mean, I think I saw a little bit at the end of last episode, and then definitely you for sure saw in this episode.
For sure.
But I felt bad for Taylor because I think she could have gone a long way, but she totally self-sabotaged herself.
Yeah. Well, how do you think she could have avoided that? I mean, because she was in kind of a tight spot, right?
I think she should have just minded her own business. I think that she never would have been on the 2-on-1 date if she didn't pick a fight with Corinne to begin with. And then mm-hmm. the producers would have been like, oh, this would be the perfect 2-on-1, you know?
Yeah, don't you think that's kind of awkward for someone like Nick, even, on the 2-on-1 date? Like, he's not gonna allow someone that is a front runner in his eyes to be on the 2-on-1 date, mm-hmm. right? It's just not going to happen. So, effectively, what you have are two people that you're not really that interested in.
Right, definitely.
That's so awkward.
It's funny. So, people in the chat role, and you guys, thank you so much for chatting with us. But people are saying, like, who... Melissa said this, like, seriously, who tells someone that they have low emotional intelligence?
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking during this Corinne and Taylor conversation. Like, that's just mean. And also, and who cares? Even, like, mind your own business.
And how do you know that?
Right.
Like, I've never seen, like, an emotional intelligence test.
Right.
Me like, neither. Is that a thing? I don't know if it even exists. I don't know. Maybe Taylor knows.
Anyways, one person's 23, Taylor's 23, and Corinne is 24, and I feel like neither of them are ready to be with Nick, personally.
Yeah, my favorite jabs at each other was the I can't believe you're a mental health counselor. She's like, I question your ability to run a multi-million-dollar company. I'm like, this is getting into it.
It was good.
Okay, so we will get more into Corinne and Taylor even a little bit later, but for now we had the rose ceremony. Were you surprised by anybody that went home?
I was a little okay. So originally I was very surprised that Sarah went home, and yeah. Chat Roll totally feels the same way. However, thinking back on it, like, I don't remember any real relationship that him and Sarah had. I think I just thought she was cute, and that's why I was surprised she went home.
Yeah, what's the most memorable moment between Nick and Sarah?
Her running in to meet him with her sneakers on and the dress from first episode, night one.
Yeah.
So, not that's a lot. It? That's it? So, yeah. That's all I can remember. What about you?
I am racking my brain. I don't really remember. I think you're right. I think we all just thought she was cute. But they did highlight a lot of her, like... little one-liners. So I think we saw a lot of her. There was the sports date, you know, right, she was kind true. Of involved in that, if my memory is serving me right. Yeah, I was kind of surprised because she also was really, I saw a little chart that basically said largest following of people, and they were using that as an indicator of fan favorites. And Sarah was the number one
really?
Instagram followed
no way
contestant on the show. So that's where my surprise came from. I'm like,
interesting.
She definitely was a fan favorite. If you're in terms of followers, right?
I think she was just came off really sweet and just was really cute.
Yeah.
But I think Nick probably made the right decision.
Yeah, well, we're sorry to see you go, Sarah. Astrid left. No surprise there or surprised?
No surprise.
Didn't really see a lot of her there. Yeah. Okay, so then they tell us we're going to New Orleans. I thought they
everyone
said Norway
is, like,
at first.
So excited, but they're like, damn it, I wish this was Europe instead.
Yeah, we'll get there, girls. We'll get there. Take it easy. So they had what I thought was a really interesting moment. I don't know if you noticed this, but there was the Danielle M and someone else was sitting next to her, and they were in the plane, and they were like, we're going to New Orleans, and there was a shot of the engine as the plane was coming down. Every single time they travel, the mm-hmm. contestants have cameras with them, little cameras to record all these little moments. I've never seen any of those moments. And the reason I was bummed about it on our season, because there was tons of cool and funny stuff
right.
that happened on the plane with those cameras, and they just never use it. So I was like, oh, cool. There's an airplane cam.
That's
moment.
Interesting.
That's the first one I've seen in a small little edit on the note side. But then after that happens, after my cool little thing, we see the fact that there's going to be three dates. Chris Harrison comes in, he says there's going to be a one-on-one date, a group date, and then drops the bomb, the two-on-one date. We already all knew that it was going to be Corinne and Taylor. But on the one-on-one date, it's Rachel. Now, tell me what you thought about Nick and Rachel's date.
I fell in love with Rachel on this date.
You did.
I actually feel like I fell in love with Nick on this date, too. Mm. And I haven't been his, like, biggest fan all along. Like, I liked him. I think he was the right choice for The Bachelor.
Yeah.
But I kind of didn't feel like he was really into it. And then he had this date with Rachel. And you know when they say, like, oh, be with someone who brings out the best in you?
Yes.
I honestly thought Rachel brought out the best in him. Like, yeah. I loved everything about their date. It was fun. It was cool. Like, their chemistry seemed so on
point. What about Nick? Were you like, oh, I like that about Nick? I can see why you thought that about Rachel. What was it about Nick?
I feel like Nick was just being more in touch with his feelings. He was a little bit more sensitive. Just the fact that he was questioning how to address her dad.
Yeah.
Was like, I want to meet your father. And I feel like every girl wants to hear a guy say that.
Yeah, and that was early.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I was so, I mean, what did you think about them?
I felt the same way. I thought there was like a lot of emotional connection. They had some building. I think he's very interested in her. Just at the end, when we had her moment, she was like, let me look at my notes to see if I'm saying this right. She said something along the lines of like, she's into him. And then she covered her face and she's like, but it's true.
Right.
Right. We remember this moment correctly?
I definitely remember that
moment. So then it cuts to Nick's reaction and he says something similar about Rachel, about she has all the things that you would look for and blah, 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 blah. But Rachel was really excited and she had all this like energy and bubbleness about her. And then I felt Nick was very flat.
Really?
Which I thought was so incongruent with how the rest of the date went that stuck out to me. I'm like, he didn't seem excited at all when he talked about her.
That's interesting because I feel like Nick on this date, Nick talking about her is the most excited I've seen him all season.
Okay, that might be true. Could it be that just Nick just isn't that emotionally expressive?
Definitely. I think that's what it is.
Okay.
He's very monotone. He doesn't like really...
Go. Yeah.
He just doesn't, I don't know, I guess you don't like really see his emotions like coming out of him, but I felt it for him on this date.
He doesn't have trouble controlling the volume of his voice.
Exactly, that's the issue.
Yeah. Okay.
I think honestly everything from like them trying out hot sauces to like eating beignets to like dancing in the street, like I felt it all. I was so happy. Yeah. I'm so team Rachel.
That was a great New Orleans date in contrast to what happened.
That's what I'm saying.
On the group date.
Oh,
which kind of overshadowed that great date. Because now we get this impression, we're left with this impression of New Orleans of kind of like voodoo, ghost, haunting. They should have flipped it. They should have went group date first.
Maybe.
Left us on a high note on the one-on-one
with Rach,
you know?
Totally. You guys, before we get into the group date, I want to talk to you guys about a word from our sponsors, and Rachel's clearly my new obsession, and I think you guys are going to have a new TV obsession as well. Thursday nights on the CW, the network that gave you The Vampire Diaries and Gossip Girl, is bringing you the awesomely dark and addictive new series, Riverdale. Based on Archie Comics, Riverdale puts a super edgy, twisted spin on the classic characters you know. Did you ever read Archie? Which character are you? Are you a good girl like Betty? Or more of a Veronica? Are you like Golden Boy Archie, or are you a misunderstood loner just like Jughead? Which character are you secretly crushing on? Riverdale looks like the perfect, safe, wholesome small town, but it's got huge secrets.
Huge.
It all starts off with a new year at Riverdale High and the mysterious murder of one of its own most popular kids. Everyone becomes a suspect, and that's when the sordid details about what everyone really did over the summer and with whom begin to surface. You won't believe what the people in this town are hiding. Don't miss the must-see new drama Riverdale, Thursdays at 9, 8 Central, only on the CW, and catch the after show at AfterBuzz TV.
Boom!
By the way, Riverdale reminds me of New Orleans and the second group date.
There couldn't have been a better sponsor!
Yeah! Okay, let's get into the super group date.
Okay, I want you to guide the group date.
Okay. Let's just say this is the group date from my nightmare. Like, I would much rather be shoveling the poop in Milwaukee than being in a haunted mansion.
Yeah?
Guys, Brooks, I, like, must have grabbed his arm a million times.
I actually was shocked that you were that jumpy.
I'm the jumpiest person ever. It's so embarrassing.
Do you like to go to scary movies?
I refuse to go to scary movies. Ah. I am really scared of the dark.
Are you like legit believe in the supernatural?
I don't know if I believe in the supernatural, but I'm scared of the dark. And I'm scared of things just popping out at me.
Yeah, you don't like.
So I don't know how I would have been on this date. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't see it. Yeah. Sorry, that didn't work. But I think he selected a good group of girls to go with him. They all seem to have a lot of fun.
I think that's a hard date to be on, is in terms of like being Nick. You know, yes. I'm like, man, that's, you know, you're trying to create something that's fun and trying to have these intimate moments. But yeah, not the easiest dynamics. What would you have done on the date? Would you hung around the Ouija board? Would you have gone with Jamie and Raven and kind of explored? What would you have done?
I think I would have taken this opportunity to cling on to Nick as much as possible, mm-hmm. and be like, listen, like, I'm actually really nervous. Like, I need you to protect me.
Yeah, we didn't
and, like,
see anybody
be
do
a
that.
Girl, like a girly girl, and like want a man to protect me.
Maybe that did happen. We just didn't see it. Yeah. But who do you think did the group date the best?
I think Raven did the group date the best. I was actually really disappointed that she didn't get the group date rose.
Yeah.
What about you? Who do you think did the best?
I really liked Jamie because she was so like, I'm not scared, what up, blah, blah, blah. And then she the script flipped on her. So I think she had the most fun. And the group dates are supposed to be about having fun. And then, of course, the group date rose went to
Danielle.
Which, was that surprising to you?
I was shocked by it for a few reasons. And I forget who said this in the chat role, but I am big on body language.
Yeah.
And Nick's body language when he was talking to Danielle, she was like all faced in towards him. Mm-hmm. And he sat there facing forward with his arms crossed. And I was like, oh my gosh, he is not into her at all anymore. And then I felt like I'm sure there's parts of the conversation missed.
Yeah.
But I felt like he was only kissing her because he didn't have anything else to talk to her
about.
Even
the tickling of the arm and the, like.
Fine, like that was,
that
I
was
guess,
a little bit.
A little bit more, but I thought him and Raven seemed to have such a genuine connection and seemed to have so much fun. And then she dropped like the L-bomb on him.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, that's when I knew I fell in love with you. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
So.
But she's like, I said it. I said it early. I own it.
She's
so
cute.
I love that. She went up in my book. I don't know about a favorite per se, but just as a person, I'm like, I like her.
Did you expect Danielle to get the rose?
Absolutely not. No, that would really surprise me. And that's why I wondered what you thought. I wonder what chat role says in terms of like being surprised that Danielle M got the group date rose.
People are saying, I like Danielle M, but I don't feel any chemistry with those two. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, so true. And do you think that it's just a product of time, or you just think that he really just wasn't that into her? And
I mean, I think he's clearly into her because she got the rose, but I do think that we've seen this happen before, like when someone has an instant connection from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm,
I feel
hard.
Like, yeah. I wonder what the statistic is on like how many people go on the first one-on-one date actually make it to the end.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, that's an interesting statistic. And I'm also interested, has anybody ever gone on a two-on-one date and ever made it out of there? Like, and ever made it to, say, final three?
Right, I don't know.
I don't think so. Maybe someone in the chat role can remember. If not, we'll look at that. We'll come back.
Jessica agreed. She said, definitely seemed like he only kissed her because they ran out of things to talk about. Right, girl? That's right. What I'm saying. But why did he give her the rose then? And you know what I was a little disappointed about?
Mm-hmm.
Vanessa. Because Vanessa is definitely a front runner for me on this date.
We didn't see her
at all. We didn't see her at all. And she like definitely said she wasn't interested in playing like Ouija or anything like that. Which, fine. I don't think you have to do that.
Yeah.
But I would like to see a little bit more personality out of her.
Yeah, I think a couple years ago I would have done the same thing. Like, Ouija now at this point doesn't scare me, but I was very superstitious at one point. And a Ouija board, if it would have gotten pulled out, I would have been like, hell no.
I honestly think I would have cried on this group date out of fear.
You would have.
Yeah, no, you would really have. Get scared.
I know, you were so jumpy and it
was
not
so
even
embarrassing.
Like, do you think that they were timing things and pulling things? Do they have levers? Is this house created for moments like this?
I think it's created for moments like this.
Because I'm like, I mean,
and also the editing was fantastic.
I know, but the chandelier and the books and the,
I think like if you touch one thing, something else happens.
There's got to be a control room.
Definitely.
There's got to be cameras. Someone's
100%,
watching, right?
100%.
Okay. I'm not the only one.
I hope.
I mean, and then to be like, the most haunted place in New Orleans, and then it's just kind of like this pristine place that you can go and do these tours through.
Right. I'm like, okay, totally.
Convenient. Just like amazing haunted house.
Just to like circle back to Raven really quickly.
Yeah.
You know how she dropped the L-bomb?
Get over her.
Do you think it was a little too early to say I'm falling in love with you, or did you feel like it was genuine?
It's a really good question, because I think we all were processing that and right. going, I don't know how I feel, but she seemed so genuine.
And
so confident about it that I just bought it. I'm okay. like, yeah, I think she's real.
I believe you. I felt the same way.
But we really haven't seen a lot between Nick and Raven either.
But they did just have the one-on-one date and last week, and I feel like that one went really well.
That's true. Magical, as you would say.
He didn't say I love you back because she talked about beating her ex-boyfriend
with the stiletto.
Maybe,
yeah.
He was like this whole night's a little haunted for me. I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, it's a little too deep. Yeah, I don't know. What did you think? You said you bought it?
Yeah, I believe her.
Okay.
I think she's falling in love with him.
Do you think she's going to be in your top 3?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, I can't wait to see who else is in there. Okay, so on the 2-on-1, obviously, we have Corinne and Taylor.
And oh, my gosh.
They show up, right? They on the thing, and they don't fall in. You got the alligators, obviously, already adding to this very intense moment,
so
right?
So dramatic.
And then they get there, and there's this woman who's like, I don't know what the word is, if she's a specialist, but she was like a voodoo master,
I don't know.
Teacher... something, whatever her title was. But then she's like, I want to start with the doll. There's a lot of misconceptions about the doll, da 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 da. Mm-hmm. And then Nick asks, he goes, well, can you, like, so is it not used for, like, you know, spells on a particular person?
Right.
And then she's like, no, I'm not going to say
we
it,
but
it is it. We can do that. And I'm like, no, it's exactly what we think it is. The voodoo doll is exactly what we thought it was.
Do you really think that a voodoo doll, you can, like, place a curse on someone?
You know how I don't believe in the Ouija board? Yeah. I'm still a little leery of the whole voodoo thing.
Okay.
Like that, the voodoo doll thing scares me.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It creeps me out too.
Creeps you out. This is kind of, was it like...
this whole...
Brilliant to put these guys in this situation.
Corinne and Taylor.
Taylor. Yeah. It's such a weird environment to add these two characters to. And two of the best characters. And you said earlier when I asked you, you're like, Corinne and Taylor, or Corinne specifically, is one of your favorite characters of all time.
Corinne is one of my favorite characters for sure. I think that they made a great decision putting both of them on the 2-on-1 date. However, this date just felt so overly produced. Like everything from the cards to the voodoo dolls to like all of it. I don't think they needed that much production. Like, I think the girls could have done it for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the voodoo, like the reader, was prepped?
Because yes.
you were looking at me like, oh, come on.
I was like,
there's
I
no
am
way.
Not buying this. I felt like every single time she was talking, it was just on the cards, and it was probably B-roll afterwards.
So what do you
voiceover afterwards?
Really?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Or could the scenario have been the producers like, hey, here's these two characters, here's the scene, this is what we're doing.
That definitely
we just
could be
need
it.
You to read, and whatever happens, you can play with the cards, do your thing.
That could definitely happen.
Yeah.
One thing that I thought was interesting, and I forget what the card was. Oh, no, it was right in the beginning when Taylor sat down and Taylor like split the deck in half.
It's all about energy. The card's about
right.
energy, she said. Yeah.
And she said, this is very tense. Like she felt bad, negative energy. And Taylor kind of spun it about it being from Corinne. But I've just felt like I could feel Taylor's bad, negative energy from, like, last week's episode.
Yeah.
Like, I felt it in New York. I feel it in L.A. It was definitely in the bayou.
But she's hitting the map all over the place.
She is.
So, but she seems like such an individual that is so in touch with her, you know, her mental well-being, her mental state. Do you think that she was... caught up in the fact that she had to prove to Corinne and everybody that she was in fact smarter than her, or she was more in touch? Like, why do you think that bad energy came out? Like, do you have any ideas on that?
I just think that no matter how you feel about someone, when you start telling them that you think you're smarter than them, or they're not like emotionally intelligent enough for you or to be in this environment, you're automatically like crossing the line. I think that's where it all started for me.
Yeah, I think.
And I think Chatroll agrees. Chatroll's like, who does Taylor think she is to tell her that she's not emotionally intelligent enough? And who uses those words?
Yeah.
Have you ever...
I've never had anybody say like, that to me in
you
my
know
life.
What? I had to break up with my ex-girlfriend because she just wasn't emotionally intelligent enough for me. Brooks, yeah, would those words come out of your mouth?
I don't even know what that means. Probably. I've said dumber things in a breakup scenario. You're like trying to be honest with your feelings and you end up saying something dumb.
Right.
Okay, so what I think that is interesting about the only thing left on that date that I found that was interesting is exactly partly what you touched on. In the fact that Taylor comes after the villain, because Corinne is our villain, right? In this season. And we kind of came to Corinne's defense, which we don't really do that often for villains. So I'm interested because it was feeling like Corinne is going to be a distraction in the show. And it's going to become more about Corinne, kind of why Chad left early, right? It was like becoming too much about Chad. He had to go. So with Corinne... She might go further. Like, because I honestly think there is something between Nick and Corinne. Like, he doesn't have to kiss her. He doesn't have to interact the way he does with Corinne.
Right.
I'm not saying that he likes her more than Raven or Rachel, but I think that there is a little something there that he likes about Corinne. I'm interested to see how far she's going to go.
I think she's going to go further. I know, like, in the previews, they alluded to her being sent home as well, but I think that's just a tease. I don't think she's going home.
Okay.
And also, Marianne Felony, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, said this in the chat role, and I just want to get back to Taylor because I think this is exactly what people's problem with Taylor is, and I think what my problem with Taylor is.
Yeah.
She said, Taylor's book smart and likes to spew her knowledge, but she's not humble. And I think that's the issue.
Yeah.
Like, I love an intelligent woman. But it doesn't make you better than someone to keep telling someone how intelligent you are.
Yeah, she mentioned having a PhD in
mental psychology. Or her master's.
Her master's, yeah.
But she's mentioned that several times.
Yeah.
And what really bothered me is that I don't think
that... She identifies with that.
Right, which is fine. But she also called Corinne a liar. And I don't think Corinne lied to Nick. I mean, maybe Taylor didn't realize she was bullying her. And maybe Taylor didn't actually call her stupid.
Right.
But she did allude to her
being stupid. Yeah.
So.
She's like, you're twisting my words. Right. Which is like, well, not a lot.
Not really. I feel like if Nick watched this episode back, he'd be like, oh yeah, I made the right decision.
Mm-hmm. Okay, she comes back. We see her come back at the end. What could possibly be on her mind? Like, what does she feel like she has to...
I have no idea.
What's her fantasy? He's going to be like, oh, yeah, okay, you're right. Thanks for coming back. You know, I should give the rose to you. And I'm sorry, Corinne, you should go home. What?
I don't know. And it's interesting because I think that Nick also relates to Corinne because no one ever liked Nick on his season.
It's true. Preach, girl. Come at me.
That's why.
That's such good insight.
You know what I mean? So I think he's like, oh, I'm the Corinne. Yeah. And he was so passionate, and that's why everyone didn't like him. But that's how she is, too.
Yeah. So he sees himself in her.
Totally.
And he's like, no one gave me a chance.
Chat roll. That's cool. Let us know, Taylor or Corinne, right now. I want to hear what you guys say.
Well, and then the cards, last thing on the group date, the cards said, do not engage to Taylor, right? But she couldn't help it. She couldn't help but just, defend herself. And I'm like, You just heard this good advice of, like, just don't engage. That's super easy, super simple.
Okay, I feel like I'm hating on Taylor right now, but I'm just going to go in one more time. Because something else that she said is that if he chooses Corinne, then he's obviously not the type of guy I want to be with.
Right.
So why are you doing this? Why are you coming back? Like, if he obviously made the wrong choice in your mind, like, and that's not someone who you'd be attracted to.
Right.
Go.
Yeah, then what's the point?
Right.
Then maybe Corinne was right. Maybe you're not here for the right reasons, which we haven't heard a lot. Bringing it back.
By the way, chat roll are either saying neither or Corinne, which is really funny. So no one's Team Taylor.
Yeah. Well, by the way. Aside from that, I mean, is there anything else left in the episode that we didn't talk about that you want to talk about? Chat roll, what are you guys' thoughts on tonight's episode? I mean, I feel like it was a Corinne and Taylor show. We didn't get to see relationships progress a lot. It was mainly about drama, so I'm looking forward to next episode because I think we're actually going to get into some meat now.
I think for me what this episode solidified is that either Rachel's going to win or Rachel's going to be the next Bachelorette.
Mm.
That's what
you think is that strong?
I really liked Rachel. I thought they hit it off. Like, I don't know. I felt like he fell in love with her, and I felt like America fell in love with her.
Yeah, he did say that out of any of the girls there, he had the most explosive... Sorry.
Explosive? He had the most
explosive chemistry with.
Is that what he said?
He said explosive. Wow. And I was just like, whoa, that's quite the word choice. Explosive chemistry. So in the trailer, we see that Taylor's coming back. And then something happens. Nick does something, or somebody does something, and we see him in tears. We see them upset. He basically says, like, I'm just afraid that, you know, the same thing that the other three times, the outcomes of the last three times I've done this are now going to be the outcome of this show. And I want it to be, he says, genuine and, like, sincere or something along those lines. What does that make you think happened?
I have no idea. The only thing I could think happened is that one of the girls sent herself home.
So you don't think it's a he messes up, pulls a Caitlin and sleeps with a Nick?
I don't think so.
No, I don't either.
I don't know what it could be, though. I really have no idea. What do you think it is?
I don't know. I was just like, well, the good editing. Good on you guys. I don't know what it is, but I want to watch.
Right.
And even though I'm being played, being gamed on, I'm game.
You're
Let's
interested.
Go. Yeah, I'm interested. I'll be here next week.
I think that since we asked the chat roll what they want to know, one thing that people are really asking is, do you think Nick is a good bachelor?
That's a great question. I personally am like, at this point, I haven't seen a lot from Nick. I feel like Nick on The Bachelor is even more boring than he, I mean, in real life. I mean, he's very charismatic. He is a great conversationalist, and I'm just not really seeing that on The Bachelor. And I don't know why that is. What is that, a product of him just playing it safe and he doesn't want to come off as, yet again, the villain? Because if it happens this season, he comes off as the villain-esque of like, he's kind of a dick. He doesn't have very many redemptive moments for him.
Right.
In the public eye. So I wonder if that plays on him and it's making him be a little bit more edited and he's doing some self-editing, and as a result, he's coming off kind of boring. That's my perception. I don't know if everybody else feels that way, but a lot of people bagged on Ben and Ben being kind of boring, but I liked Ben's season better.
Really?
To this point, yeah.
Thank you. I think that my reasoning for that is because I agree. I thought Nick was really boring so far too.
Yeah.
And I think it was all editing. But now that I saw him in this episode and even a little bit in last week's episode, I feel like that maybe there was just too many girls before.
Yeah.
So when they were doing the actual editing, the producers were just, you know, showing clips and here, clips there. And it was mostly for us to try and get to know the girls. Instead of trying to get to know Nick.
Yeah, I think that's good insight.
Yeah, so now I feel like with everyone on one day, I'm like, oh, okay, I know Nick a little bit more.
Yeah, I would like to see that.
Right, and I feel like that's what I started to feel today.
Yeah, okay, good.
And even last week. And I think that Nick, whether you like him or not, I really, truly believe that he wants to find true love.
Yeah.
And I think, well, I hope that's what his pure intentions are.
Well, I mean, at this point, what else could your intentions be, Nick? Like, you've been on the show enough times.
I think he wants to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Like, all this rigmarole for that?
I mean, no,
it's like, it's not that
cool
of a show.
No, I think he really wants to find love. And I think he will find it.
I think so, too. And I think, overall, Nick is a good bachelor because he's polarizing. If you hate him or you like him, you're watching, you're interested. And isn't that what we're looking for? It's entertainment after all.
Definitely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that covers everything, unless, of course, we have anything else from chat roll that you guys are dying to talk about. Other than that, you guys, let's see you next week. Christina, where can they find you?
You guys, thank you so much for tuning in. You can find me across social media at Miss Zias and on my blog, MissZias.com. And Brooks?
Yeah, thank you guys for tuning in and for your questions, your participation. I hope to see you guys on Twitter and or Instagram. And you can find me at Brooks Forster. And I'll be there and I'll chat with you. You guys, until next week.
See you next week, guys.
All right, see you guys later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.